coming. But they agreed that him let you know. But I didn't know these couple things from them sitting over here until we started arranging the first place. God becomes friends with them both. Good friends for the 2 weekends that we spent together in that time. Both of them, in my opinion, are willing, they really believe strongly what they believe. Now that's what the kingdom's going to debate it. Can't spend more than 10 minutes with Mr. Bonner to see that he feels strongly about what he believes. And I really appreciate that characteristic from both of them. And I'm glad to have a Bible study with him like this. Obviously, I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to look in detail tonight and tomorrow night, Lord willing, at verses 2 through 16 to 1 Corinthians 11. Tommy, you put up that chart. My first chart here is a reading of what I think the critical verses in this text are. Now, Mr. Jenkins may disagree about, maybe I've left off some of the critical verses. I'll go ahead and start with verse 3, since you think that is so critical in determining this question. What I'm going to do this time, what I didn't do last time, is I'm going to give a quick exegesis of the passage of what I think it's saying as I go through. Now, keep in mind, when a preacher gives an exegesis of a passage, he isn't necessarily proving that. And so when I give this very quick exegesis of the passage as I read it, I will not be proving it at that time. That's what the rest of my speech will be for. But I will want you to understand what my position is. Let me begin on verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, not just her husband, which is talking Ephesians 5, but the head of the woman is the man in general. And the head of Christ is God, speaking of God the Father. Every man, praying or prophesying, having his head covered, and I believe that's referring to an artificial covering, like a veil, possibly a hat, as long as it covers the head, dishonors his head. Of course, that's the dispute we're going to have tonight. He does not think that's an artificial covering, but it is referring to the long hair. Dishonors his head, that's the reason verse 3 is brought in here, so you'll know who his head is. His head is Christ. If you dishonor Christ, the man does, if you pray with a veiled head, a covered head. But every woman that prays or prophesying, and I believe these phrases, and they're critical in the discussion, it tells the when this occurs, with her head uncovered. In other words, she prays without a veil or a hat that would cover her head. She dishonors her head, and she can count the verse 3 as man. For that is even all one of this human shape. That's a difficult reading from the King James. I believe it basically means this. It's just as bad as if she were shaped. You might tell a person that cheats on his tax, you say, that's just as bad as robbing a bank. You try to make a point to them. And that's sort of what Paul, I think, is doing here. The people there recognize that a woman shaven was wrong and shameful. And he's basically saying, if the woman won't be covered with this artificial covering when she prays, that's just as bad as being shaven. And you know that's wrong. I think Mr. Jenkins wouldn't agree with what the covering is there, but he would agree with that understanding of that phrase. Or if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. The same idea. You might as well rob the bank if you're going to cheat on your taxes. If you're not going to be covered, you might as well cut your hair, or as Mr. Jenkins would believe, cut it real short. I'm not too clear on the definition of that word, but I don't want to try to enter into this discussion. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, which they already recognize, let her be covered. It's a consistency argument. You know this is wrong, shorn or shaven. You ought to be covered artificially when you pray. I believe here and down in verses 13 through 15, Paul is referring to the natural covering and saying, look, the woman is covered by nature, naturally, permanently. That should tell you, and the man is not, except she has long hair. That should tell you when you're referring to the artificial state, a piece of clothing, that the woman ought to be covered when she prays and the man should not be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, and it gives a reason here why he shouldn't cover his head. For as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Skipping out of verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. I believe some translations say a symbol of authority. Therefore, again, though it does not use the word katakaluto, which is the Greek word that has been used thus far to refer to the covering, does not use that Greek word. I believe it again is referring to the covering of the passage, and I think Mr. Jenkins will agree with that. In other words, she ought to be covered when she prays because of the angels. And we don't know, it'd be pure speculation to say what that means, and so I don't think we need to discuss that. The truth of the matter is, and what's important in our discussion, is that she ought to at the top of the angel. And then verses 13 through 15, judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? So he's asking the question, he wants them to judge for themselves if it's proper for a woman to pray without this veil or another type of covering. And he answers this question, no. And again, the way he does it is the same way he did it in the first part of the passage. He appeals to the natural covering that's given to a woman on a permanent basis. And he says, see, look, you guys, the woman is permanently covered naturally with the long hair. That ought to tell you what she ought to be on a temporary basis, that is, when she prays or prophesies, and that would refer to the artificial covering. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame to him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Hair is given for a covering. This is something these folks already agreed to, it looks like to me. They already would agree that the woman ought to have long hair. But he's trying to teach them something new. And so the new teaching is based upon the teaching they already agreed to. It does not make sense to me for him to try to teach them out the cover, the catechism of cover, and then appeal to something that they didn't already agree to. He appealed to something they did already agree to, showing that this covering is different from this covering. And we'll say more about that as we go along. The next chart deals with what is the issue. I want to make it clear the issue is not over whether the covering of 1 Corinthians 11 verse 5 is necessary for today. Mr. Jenkins and I both agree it is necessary for today. We just disagree on what that covering is. We both agree that it was not just a matter of local custom. Instead, it was binding for all at that time and is still binding today. We both agree that. We both agree that the covering was not just binding during the days of spiritual gifts. Instead, it is binding today also. I believe I can show, I'll digress a little bit here, Mr. Jenkins. I can show that both of these positions are false just by a little phrase, praying or prophesying. Some people say, well, it was just a custom back then. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think this was a custom and they talked about the prostitutes having to wear a veil or whatever because they were prostitutes? And let me ask you this. Do you think it was a custom for the prostitutes to put a veil on when they prayed? And you can see from that, he's not talking about local custom. What about the spiritual gifts view? You can tell again that's not true just from the fact the phrase praying or prophesying. Prophesying, either all the time or most of the time, was inspired preaching. But prayer is not. It's not just limited to spiritual gifts because praying is done mostly, if not all the time, it's not a spiritual gift. And so women pray today, that's for sure. And so this is not limited just to the days of spiritual gifts. The issue is not over whether long hair is necessary for the woman. We both agree that 1 Corinthians 11 15 teaches that it is. When I defend the artificial covering this evening, tomorrow night, Lord willing, I'm not saying it's okay for a woman to have short hair. No, I believe a woman's hair ought to be long, and I mean real long. I believe a woman ought to have long hair. Some preachers say that it needs to be long enough to tell the difference between a man and a woman, but I've never seen the Bible say that. I believe a woman ought to have long hair. If you see a woman on the street, and you just go up to the average person and say, does she have long hair? And they say, well, no, not really, and I don't feel like her hair is long enough. The Bible says it ought to be long, and I think there's a lot of improvement that needs to be done in that area. But that's not the issue tonight. The issue is, what is the covering of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5? Is it the long hair or the veil? Is long hair the only covering taught necessary by 1 Corinthians 11? Are there two coverings in the passage, the long hair and the veil? My obligation is to prove that the catecholuso covering of verses 4 through 13 is different than the parable lion covering of verse 15. Best I can do, Nick. That a veil is required for the woman when she prays in addition to the long hair covering that is required at all times. Now, I've mentioned these words catecholuso and parable lion. I want to point out to you, Thomas, and you may not be able to read this, that there are two different Greek words used in this passage for covering. If you look at your passage, you'll see the word covering once in verse 5, twice in verse 6, I believe it's in verse 7 and verse 13. Those times you see covered, or whatever the form of it is, it comes from this word catecholuto, or a form of it. When you see the word covering in verse 15 is not catecholuto, it is from the Greek word parabolion. Now, I'm not bringing this up, Mr. Jenkins, listen carefully. I'm not bringing this up to try to say to you that proves that there are two coverings in the passage. The fact that two different Greek words are used. I don't think that proves it, because the Bible sometimes uses two different Greek words to refer to the same thing. You understand? So this does not prove my position. That's not the reason I bring it up. The reason I bring it up is because I want you to know that there are two different Greek words here. I feel like it is a valuable piece of information for you to know. And it may come up, though it probably won't with Mr. Jenkins, but in a negative speech, if I were in a negative, the way some folks live on this Mr. Jenkins, I might need to bring this up, like I have to with Mr. Clark Taylor. But with you, I don't think we have any disagreement on this, that there are two different Greek words, and that there's some significance there. But I'm agreeing with Mr. Jenkins that it does not prove my proposition. But I think that people need to know that because you can't see that from the King James Version. You can sometimes from other versions, like the American Standard Version. We'll move on to Thomas. Thanks. Now I'm going to get to the part, the primary way I'm going to try to prove my proposition. And you're the judge on whether or not I prove my proposition or not. I believe that this phrase, praying or prophesying, you'll see it in verse 4 with relation to the man. He should be uncovered when praying or prophesying. You'll see it in verse 5 with relation to the woman. She should be covered when she prays or prophesies. You see basically the same phrase in verse 13, though it leaves off the prophecy part. It just talks about that a woman ought to pray, or that a woman ought not to pray uncovered. And I believe that this phrase proves that the covering of verses 4, 5, and 13 is a temporary covering. Now, let me make this clear. I'm not saying that this in and of itself would prove that the only time she had to wear it was when she prayed or prophesied. There may be another passage that would say she had to wear it when she cooked. And if it did, that would be three times that she had to wear it. But what I'm saying is the fact that it's mentioned in association with this occasion, and Tommy knows that you'll probably hear that word a lot in the next few nights, the fact that it is used with reference to praying and prophesying shows that the covering is a temporary covering. That it's possible, to put it on for this occasion, praying and prophesying, and take it off. And I believe that you'll agree with me that that's what you'd think if you just read the text. If you read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, every woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered dishonors her head, you'd see that phrase, praying or prophesying, and you'd think this is something that's possible to put on for praying and prophesying and to take off when you're not. Possible to do that. That's what I want to emphasize. It's possible. You would think that. I believe that it proves it. And that's going to be the main way I try to prove my proposition tonight. Let me give you an everyday illustration of that. Suppose a father talking to his daughter, who has long hair, said to her, "Be sure and have your head covered when you go outside." And remember, be sure and have your head covered when you go outside. You see, there's a time frame put on that. I want to ask the audience, just be honest with yourself, would you think that the father would be commanding his daughter to keep her long hair, or would he be commanding her to put on an artificial cover? Notice when I said cover here, I didn't know what kind. Long hair, because I believe long hair is a cover. Or I did not say veil, I didn't specify. But I believe you can see from this phrase, when you go outside, that the father would be talking about an artificial covering and not the long hair. Doc, it appears, and I think it proves it, that this covering is something that can be put on for that occasion when she goes outside, and it's possible to take it off when she comes back in. Do you see my point? Now let me give a Bible example. Esther 6, verse 12. This would be a Bible illustration, illustrating the same thing as this everyday illustration is illustrating. You remember Esther, then you remember the story of Mordecai and Haman. Haman tried to do Mordecai in, but it backfired on him. And so we pick up in Esther 6, verse 12, and Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hasted to his house mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, crying, not in the morning time, hasted to his house mourning, and having his head covered. Now what kind of covering is this? It does not specify, does not say that it's hair, does not say that it's a hat, does not say it's an artificial covering. But I think everybody here will agree this is an artificial covering. It's an artificial covering. Why? How do you know he didn't have long hair, so like Samson? How do you know it wasn't just long hair and that it was an artificial covering? I believe the way you know it's because this covering is associated with this mourning. See? And so you know that this covering was something that that was possible to put on while he was mourning to take off when he was not mourning. And therefore, it shows that it's a temporary covering and not a permanent covering, as Samson would have had. Haman covered his head at the part of mourning. We know that it was an artificial covering because it covered for an occasion, the time of mourning. I know that the covering of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, and I'm using the same reasoning in 1 Corinthians 11, is an artificial one, Tommy raised it up, for the same reason. Because it is the cover for an occasion. It's associated with the time of praying, praying and prophesying. That occasion being when a woman prays or prophesies. Since the long hair cannot cover just for an occasion, no, it's a permanent covering. I believe we ought to have a long hair, the woman should, as a covering, but it's permanent. It ought to be there all the time, not just when they pray or prophesy. It cannot be the covering of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, Therefore, the passage must teach two different prophets. Now, notice why I believe that this is proven by the plague. Because it's the same way you learned it with Haman, that this covering, 1 Kings 11, verse 5, is the cover for an occasion, praying or prophesying. Therefore, the covering is temporary, not permanent, as the long hair. The long hair will just not fit in 1 Kings 11, 5. Now, notice the next chart. Based upon a question I asked Mr. Jenkins previous to our first discussion through the mail. This chart is entitled Jesse Jenkins. I have a lot of respect for him. Done fornication. Mordecai came again to the king's gate. Haman hasted to his house mourning, having his head covered. So I asked Mr. Jenkins about this verse, about Haman. Raise it up, Tommy. Was Haman's head covering in Esther 6:12 an artificial covering or was it hair? How can you tell? It does not say a covering of artificial or a covering hair. How did he know? Well, he knew some way because he said artificial covering. I think that he knew the same way I know. And then I asked him that, and he said yes. Most importantly, how do you know which one it was? He said because having his head covered, this is Mr. Jenkins talking about Esther 6:12, because having his head covered is associated with mourning, crying. Therefore, the indication is that the covering was something he put on for the occasion. That's how he knew it was an artificial covering and not the long hair. Because it was associated with mourning, therefore you can know that he put it on for the occasion. And he recognizes the fact that the long hair cannot be just put on for the occasion or taken off. He recognizes that fact, and so he knew that the covering of Haman was an artificial covering. See, he's agreeing with my main line of reasoning. At least he does on Haman. And then all we got to do is apply the same, and I mean identically the same reasoning to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. Come, raise it up. Notice now why I believe that the woman's covering of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5 is an artificial covering. Now drop it down just enough so we see his quote right here. Everybody see that? Now I'm going to write my reason down here and just substitute about maybe just one word. Instead of he, I substitute she's in here. And then I'm going to substitute this word praying for mourning. Because having her head covered, see how it's the same, is associated with praying and he had mourning. Therefore, the indication is that the covering was something he or she put on for the occasion. You say the way he knew Haman's covering was artificial is exactly the way I know, and I don't just mean it's a clue that makes me think that. I believe that it proves it, indisputably. It proves it. Okay? But this is the way I know that the covering of 1 Corinthians 11 verse 5 is not the same covering as the one in verse 15, which is permanent. This is a temporary one. And I'm using the same reasoning as Mr. Jenkins views with regard to Haman. Raise it up. I know that the covering of 1 Corinthians 11 verse 5 is artificial for the same reason that Mr. Jenkins could know. The question was not what made him think that. I said, how do you know? He knew it. And Haman's covering was artificial because it is the cover for an occasion, that occasion being when a woman prays. It is the very same proof. If this reasoning proves it in Esther 6 verse 12, the same reasoning must also prove it in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 5. Let me put the next chart up there. Now, you might have that chart available. I might want to flash it back up there real quick when you have it in your hand. And so, I've made this chart since our last debate, based upon something he said in our last debate. This one's entitled, Jesse Jenkins Didn't Agree on the Occasion. Mr. Jenkins agrees that the argument on Esther 6:12, the one I made in the last chart, is correct. It's just that we disagree on the occasion, is what he said in our last debate. Notice, here's a quote of what he said in our first debate. When I came down here, and I'll flash it up there very quickly, Tom. When I came down here to the bottom of the chart, he's referring to the bottom of this chart down here where I applied this reason to 1 Corinthians 11 verse 5. Okay, so let me put it back up. When I came down here to the bottom of the chart, I said that it was still so. It was still so. That we agreed on the argument. Where we differ is on the occasion. Where we differ is on the occasion. In other words, he agrees that it's a covering. In his words, I guess, in his mind, it can be put on for the occasion, but we disagree on the occasion. The occasion for which the passage says that a woman is to have her head covered is the occasion of her being in subjection to man, which she feels is all the time. But that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me for that to be an occasion. I didn't know occasions could be all the time, but at least that's the way he worded it. So Mr. Jenkins admits that my proposition is proven if the occasion for the catacaluto cover, that's the one in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 5, is praying or prophesying in Babylon. I think that's what he's saying. He's admitting my proposition is proven if I can prove that the occasion is praying or prophesying and not whenever a woman is in subjection to man illegally. So I'm going to let the audience decide on this. I'm going to let the audience decide. I believe that he'll correct me if I'm wrong. Mr. Jenkins is saying my proposition is proven If I can prove the occasion for the covering in 1 Peter 11, verse 5, is praying or prophesying, and not all the time, that is when a woman ought to be in subjection to man, as he said. I'm going to let the audience decide. Let's look at verse 4. You can look at verse 5 in your Bible. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Now, I'm going to let the audience decide. What is the occasion? Is the occasion for this covering praying or prophesying, or is it whenever a woman should be in subjection to man? Which one? Audience decide. He said, I believe he's teaching. My proposition is proven. If I can prove this point, what is the occasion? Now, can you tell why I, Pat Donahue, would check the first box? Is it easy to see why I would check this as the occasion for the covering for the woman or for the man to be uncovered? Thank you very much.
Brother Pat and Brother Tommy, brothers and sisters in Christ, all ladies and gentlemen present. I'm happy to stand before you for my part in this Bible study. And since this is not a preaching contest, but a debate, I realize that it is my obligation to follow the speech that has just been made, and that I will try to do. Of course, as I go along, I will be making some counter arguments relative to the things that have been said. He said that man dishonors Christ if he prays uncovered. If I understood that, he believes that is a hard and a fast rule. That if a man prays under any circumstance, with any kind of an artificial covering on his head, he dishonors his head, Christ. I do not believe that the passage so teaches. I realize that consequences don't disprove the position, but consequences should make one stop and re-examine a position to be sure that he has indisputable proof for a proposition that has rather ridiculous consequences. His position would say that the soldier in the trench with his artificial covering on and shrapnel falling all around him could not pray to God unless he took his helmet off and further endangered himself. His position would say that a man working in the mine where it is against the regulations to take the hat off any time during the day would not be able to pray to God any time during the day. And conversely, in regard to the woman, I asked him a question before the last debate. If my wife were out walking and a great storm come up and it was evident that she was going to lose her life and she knew there were some sins she needed to pray about, but she didn't have an artificial covering on, could she pray to God? And he said no. Now, those are very serious conclusions to his position. He'll probably come back and say that Jenkins is arguing like the Baptist does relative to baptism when there's no water. I think the Baptist has a pretty good quibble, but I'll go and show where there is a plain passage that says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you can come to a passage that states plainly that a man dishonors Christ unless he has an artificial covering, and likewise a woman dishonors her head if she prays without an artificial covering, well then I'll just have to accept the consequences. But based upon the kind of reasoning that you've given so far, I'm not willing to accept a position that has that kind of consequence. I think I know from the Word of God that whether a man or a woman's prayer is acceptable to God depends upon whether the man or woman is in a right standing with God, not on the kind of clothes that he or she has on. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open to their supplication. 1 Peter 3:12. That is, if the man remembered to take his hat off, or if the woman ran through the storm and made it back to the house to where she could get one to put on. In a position that's ridiculous, is suspect, and leads plain passages to substantiate. Then he said, woman is covered by nature, and he qualified that saying naturally, and the man is not. That is why she ought to have the natural covering of the long hair all the time. And he said, because she ought to have the natural covering of the long hair all the time, this proves she ought to have the temporary covering when she prays. In fact, I would like for you to tell us when you come back how you concluded that woman is covered by nature and naturally with long hair and the man is not. I can understand why some commentators years ago wrote that, but I don't understand how anybody could make that statement today. All you have to do is go out on the street and look around about you and you'll see nature will give man as long a hair as it will a woman. And if your argument proves anything, that argument being that nature gives a woman long hair, that proves that she ought to be covered when she prays. Nature likewise gives man long hair, that proves he ought to be covered when he prays. So that didn't work. Then I'd like to also ask, why in the world did Paul say it's a shame for a man to have long hair if by nature he couldn't have long hair? That shows that he could have long hair. Then he said he introduced two words, made no argument on it, so I'm not interested in the two words. Then he came to his main argument, and that was done for an occasion. And he correctly represented me when he gave my answer to his question relative to Haman in Esther 6, previous to the last debate. I did say that I was confident from the passage and from the context that the covering there was an artificial one. And he wanted to know why I concluded that. And I said, because it was for the occasion of his mourning. And so he came back and made the same argument that he did tonight that I'm not going to repeat for him. But I want to turn to the text and show you that the occasion for a woman having long hair is not just when she's praying, like with Naomi it was just when Haman, that is, just when it was mourning, but the occasion for having long hair is the fact that she is the glory of man in subjection to man and is to honor man. I'll get to that a little more in detail just a little bit later. I asked him three questions before the discussion tonight. The first one was, does the purpose for which Haman was covered determine when he was covered? He answered, I think so. But we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In the last debate, I asked him a question. Does the purpose for which the woman is covered determine when she is covered? And he said, no. So, Pat, whether you recognize it or not, you've just given up Haman. You can talk about him all you want to, but this audience is going to know that you're beating the air because you've given up Haman in this debate. If the purpose for Haman having the covering was the occasion of his mourning, but the purpose of woman having a covering is not the occasion of her being subjection to man, then you don't have a parallel, and you'd better leave the Old Testament passage alone and come back to the context and try to prove it. And that's the truth of the matter. We know from the context that Haman was covered for that occasion and only for that occasion. I'd like to have my chart number 14 just now as I continue with this. But I want to impress upon the audience that when he used the passage from the Old Testament to try to prove his point from the new, that says that they aren't parallel in that the Old Testament passage limits the covering to the purpose for which a man was covered, but the New Testament passage doesn't limit the covering to the purpose for which he was covered, that he doesn't have an argument. He's given up any parallel that he might have. I hope you can see this. I made it as big as I could and get it all on. Ask the question here, what? 1 Corinthians 11, 25, man, says when you stand praying, forgive. That's the what, forgive. I ask why? One, forgive, because he wants God's forgiveness. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. I ask when? When praying, that's supposed to be verse 5. I didn't know I had that too in there. No, that's verse 25, maybe part of the mark. That's when praying, one is to forgive. When the sinner repents, forgiving Acts 17 and 3, all the time, which is indicated by 70 times 7. Matthew 18 and 22. Raise it up a little bit. Therefore, we are to be forgiving all the time because we want God's forgiveness all the time. A little more. What? We covered verses 5 and 6. Why? The honor of man is his brother, verses 5 and 7. When? Praying, verse 5. When prophesying, verse 5, when they had prophecy, and all the time, verse 15. And Pat admits that verse 15 says she's to be covered all the time with the long hair. Therefore, a woman be covered all the time because she wants to honor man and be his glory all the time. You can see the parallel between that and Mark 11, 25. Now then, let's look at Haman. What? Be covered. Esther 6 and 12. Why? Mourning. When? Mourning. Haman was not covered all the time because he was not mourning all the time. Now Lord it again. But in the first one, one forgives not only when he's praying the specified time in that text, but all the time because he wants God's forgiveness all the time. Just so the woman is to be covered not just when she prays, but all the time because she wants to honor man and be his glory all the time. And you can see that this passage, our text, is parallel to this and not to this. But he's really already given Haman up. We'll see whether he recognizes it or not when he comes back. I ask you another question. Would you answer each of the following? A, if a man is to be forgiving all the time, would it make sense to tell him to forgive at a specific time? And he said, yes, of course I knew he would. To have said no would have been saying Jesus made no sense, because Jesus told a man who was to be forgiving all the time to forgive at a specific time. But now notice. B, if the only covering required of a woman was her long hair, which she is to have all the time, would it make sense to tell her to be covered at a specific time? And he said no. Come on, that would bite you again. A man is to be forgiving all the time, and it makes sense to tell him to forgive at a specific time. But if a woman's to be covered all the time with long hair, it doesn't make sense to tell her to be covered with long hair at a specific time. If you can figure the logic of that one out, we'll do so. If not, we'll wait for Pat to explain the logic of it when he comes back. You'll have to explain it to me. I can't see it. Most important, if you answer no, which you did to the second part, please tell how you arrived at that conclusion. And he writes in, because the specific time would indicate that it is possible, underline, to cover at and only at the specific time. That register, friends. Because the specific time stated would indicate that it's possible to cover only at the specified time. If that is so, why would not the specified time indicate that it's only possible to forgive the specified time? If it doesn't do it for the forgiving, it certainly doesn't do it for the covering. And away goes that argument. Ask him another question, leaving everything else in the passage like it is. In verse 7 said, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is praying, would you conclude that praying was when he was to be covered? He said, probably. I said most important to say no, explain. He gave some explanation that I didn't want, so I won't use, because he didn't say no. He said probably. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 7 does say, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. He says, that doesn't mean that he is to have his head covered with the covering of 1 Corinthians 7 when and because he's the glory of God. I mean, uncovered because he's the image and glory of God. But if it said far as much as he's praying, he would have recognized that praying was the time. So if it had said that, he would recognize the purpose and the when were the same, and then he could go back parallel to Haman where the purpose and the when were the same. You judge for yourselves. Far as much as a man indeed ought not to cover his head, because he's in the image and glory of God. And that's the reason I said the occasion that the man is to be uncovered and the occasion the woman is to be covered is the occasion from creation that man is the glory of God and woman is the glory of man. Verse 7 says very plainly, for as much as, not that she's praying or prophesying, but for as much as the glory of man, she ought to be covered. And that's the reason and that's the occasion for her being covered. He said long hair will not fit verse 5. Well, let's see if it'll fit verse 5 and 6. But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, and that is all even one that she were shaved. Ask him a question in the previous debate, or previous to that debate. Does an artificial veil or long hair fit the wording of verses 5 and 6 better? And he was honest and said long hair. Now then he comes around and says that verse 5 proves it can't be long hair, while already saying that long hair fits better than an artificial coat. You can't tell from verse 5 what the covering is, but there is a pointer. Shaven has a closer connection with a different length of hair than it does with a hat or the artificial covering. So there's a pointer. Then in verse 6, for if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. He says that means if she has not on her veil or maybe her hat, let her be shorn, which may be cut short, but is not sure. Let it, if it be a shame for her to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. But again, I would ask you, when it contrasts shaven or shorn with covered, is there a more natural relationship between shaven, shorn, and a hat, or shaven and shorn and longer hair? Anyone must see there's a more natural relationship between shaven and shorn and longer hair. Furthermore, verse 6 makes perfect sense. If the woman be not covered with long hair, he put with a veil, I'm putting with long hair in there. If a woman be not covered with long hair, let her also be shorn. And it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Covered with what? With that which is antithetical to being shaven or shorn. And my friends and my brother Pat, that's not a hair. That's long hair. So when he said verse 5, just will not prove it, well, he missed it. That covers the things that I had in my notes. And so I want to do, for the 3 minutes that I have, what I like to do best. But when I'm in the negative, I have to do what's called for me instead of what I like to do. And that's go to the context. He did read verse 3 tonight, and verse 3 was not read or referred to by him in the other debate. I'm glad that he finally recognizes that it's in the text. He read it not because he thinks that it is germane to our discussion, but out of respect for me because I do, and I sincerely appreciate that fact. I really do. I'm not being facetious. I don't appreciate the fact that you can't see that it's germane, but appreciate the fact that you would include it out of respect for me. I really do. But verse 3 sets the stage for the whole thing. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying dishonors his head, and that if I agree, that's God. Every woman praying or prophesies uncovered dishonors her head, and that if I agree, that's man. Looks to me like he's talking about dishonoring one that you ought to be in subjection to. In the previous debate, Pat said the main focus of the passage was the covering, and he uses subjection to illustrate that. I'd like for you to take the context when you come back and show us that. I'm showing you the main focus of the passage is the woman being in subjection. Verse 7. Nevertheless, for indeed a man ought to cover his head for as much as he's in the image and glory of God, but the woman ought to uncover her head and be uncovered because she's the glory of man. Man's not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but for the man. And all of this is talking about woman being in subjection to man. And therefore, my friends and brethren, I believe, I wanted to notice one more chart, but I don't have time, so I'll have to wait on that. But the context is showing that the woman is to have the covering that is enjoined on her head all the time because she's the glory of man all the time. She was created for man, and that's true all the time. And she wants to honor man who is her head all the time. And then when Paul asks a question about woman being covered and answers, saying that her long hair is given her for a covering, it seems to me that that settles the question. And I'll
take a couple of minutes of interpretation.